Andrei Kalin, Russian ambassador to the UK, many thanks for joining us on the programme. It's very good to see you today. I'll start off with this. In one of your interviews, you mentioned that people in the UK are tired of the constant peddling of the Ukraine story, but nevertheless, public opinion is still influenced by the media's narrative. Could you expand on what you meant by that Ukraine fatigue and how it manifests itself?
Well, it's a very special situation in the United Kingdom when they talk about Ukraine, because it is only one narrative is possible here. And it sounds as follows. Russia has started an unprovoked aggression against Ukraine, and UK will stand with Ukraine as long as it takes. The key word here is unprovoked. It is totally false. It does not take into account the adversarial attitude of Ukraine towards Russia, discrimination of Russian population, of course, the negation, total negation by the West of the Russian interests, and many, many other things, including the genesis of the conflict. It's most important thing. However, it has been these two phrases are being used all across the mass media, in reports, in scientific reports as well. And in all other aspects, it has become a sort of ideology on which the whole position of the United Kingdom towards Ukraine is based. This is strange, of course. No other things can be discussed seriously here. I did talk about that with one of the famous politologist recently these days, and he told me that he who understands the situation and who correctly reflects it in his works. He told me that even in the United States, the biggest proponent of Ukraine, situation is different in a way that discussions are allowed, different views are possible, and it is still like that. Not in the United Kingdom. I, of course, know a lot of people here who truly believes who do not believe in official version of this story, who understands the roots on the conflict in a right way, but they prefer to keep silent because they are saying that they might be they might be consequences for them.
Mm. So we are seeing some people are shifting in some of their attitudes. How long will it be before we might see a mass of people change their attitudes towards the conflict in Ukraine and to Russia itself?
Frankly speaking, I do not know. It may happen, of course, with development of the events over the year on the theater, in the sense that the Kyiv government currently is driving country towards an abyss, and UK government is helping it. So this driving towards an abyss in terms of economics, in terms of diminishing of number of population, it's a disaster from all the sides. But with this development only, when they start to realize that it was a grave mistake by all sides to support Ukraine in all its endeavors and motions, then after the realization that it was a mistake, a change in attitude may happen.
Yeah, you've also said that the public in the UK is already questioning the viability of continuing to support Ukraine. But the British government doesn't want to lose face in front of their partners, of course. Is there any development on that, on the battlefield or the diplomatic front, that could shift the government's policy on Ukraine?
You know, I hardly imagine that there might be a diplomatic front on these things, because the situation has been aggravated by invasion in Kursk region, of course. And after that, all sides are talking about some kind of negotiations, some kind of second conference that will follow Bürgenstock in Switzerland, of course. It is not realistic at the moment to talk about that unless they will withdraw from the Russian soil, of course. What else? We continue to move quickly in the area of Donbas. Our forces are taking grounds over there quickly, and we will just have to follow the events. And I have to say that also this situation is being recognized by some people here. Also, it has been reflected in the newspapers. So there is a certain balance on the Kursk direction and in in perception, but perception is still it's an official line.
It really does feel like some of Ukraine's backers have some real pressing domestic issues on their hands that they seem to be ignoring, from political instability to migration, economic challenges, and even riots in the case of the UK. Yet they just seem to be more focused on foreign policy problems. Is it fair to say the Ukraine question is being used as a distraction from these issues?
It's an interesting question, all answers, a lot of answers to it are laying in yesterday's speech by the Prime Minister Starmer over there, because he has concentrated himself on the domestic issues, what is happening. Inheritance of conservatives it provides a very great future for United Kingdom economy, especially. It has fallen down from the from the 10 biggest industrialized most industrialized countries. It is the worst performance among Big Seven now by the UK. All of this is transferring itself in big unemployment, poor economic performances, inflation, and on and on and on. The answers to that from the previous conservative government lay in the foreign policy, correctly. They are saying that Russia is to blame for every failure of the conservative government. Of course, it is, I would say, crazy. It's an idea that does not have any grounds at all. I haven't heard so far that Russia is to blame for these failures from the new Labour government, but probably it will follow.
Of course, we've been closely following the situation in Kursk, and considering Ukraine's losses and the ongoing forced mobilization in the country, do you think the Kursk incursion was a rational move for Kiev, or was this more of a symbolic operation to possibly shift public opinion at home and abroad?
Interesting question. As many experts are now following it, and they agree on a thing that the Kursk operation pursued two goals. One is to pull away the bulk of the Russian forces from Donbass, from Donbass area, and to bring them over into the Russian Federation in order to defend the borders over there. And a second goal is, of course, to show to the outer world, to the West, especially United States, UK, that Ukrainian army is still capable, and with provision of armament, it can do some successes. Both of these goals has not been achieved, as we know right now. Situation in Kursk Kursk area has stabilized. Yes, Ukrainian army has taken some grounds with some villages and a small town of Sudzha that has been has had a population of 5,000 people before the operation only. Now it is nearly empty, and it doesn't move further. It does not progress in no way. But at the same time, Russian forces are becoming more and more serious, substantial, and we attract more reserves over there, more capabilities. And what next? What next? Do they have to withdraw, or do they have to stay and fail totally? So we will follow the events.
Moving away from the conflict in Ukraine, there's another big story I'd love to get your opinion about. Russian tech tycoon Pavel Durov was, of course, arrested in Paris over the weekend. Now, the Russian Foreign Ministry is closely following the case. President Macron has said the arrest isn't political. Do you believe that?
No, it's a difficult story, of course, because, first of all, Mr. Durov has a lot of citizenships. It includes not only Russian, but French and other citizenships that he has. I have heard about accusations. They are very serious, although, as I understand, or from official point of view, we will have to wait a bit until they will be delivered. And I hope that he has sufficient defense capabilities, and because it should be the his position should be defended very seriously. At the same time, in general, we perfectly understand that it's a big blow on the freedom of on the freedom of press, freedom of traffic, and all of that. And what they want over there, of course, Paris has done it on certain advice from the United States. But they want keys from this messenger. Messenger has been very successful in Russia and in the other areas. And yes, we do use it, this messenger. So, as I do believe, and the others do believe, that Washington, Paris, and all other Western capitals would like to read it.
Indeed, it really has opened up Pandora's box when it comes to freedom of expression, like you say. What's your take on the multiple serious charges being brought against him, which include drug trafficking, crimes against children, really serious things here? Do you think he should be held accountable for what happens on the platform that he created?
Oh, well, I'm not a big specialist in these things. They are difficult, but I cannot imagine myself that the owner of such a big platform can be responsible for its content. Of course, there are certain laws taken also in our country and in the European Union that are trying to regulate this issue. But I can refer that we, for quite a long time, we are pressing that it should be normal regulation over there, in according to the standards of legal standards of international law, and this issue has been discussed in the UN mostly, and there are still disagreements. As of course, US is pressing that all these things should be in the United States.
Mr. Kellen, I know you're a busy man. Thank you so much for giving us your time today. We really appreciate it. We've been speaking to Andrei Kellen, the Russian ambassador to the UK. Many thanks. Have a good day.